this Elitester podcast has went on pretty long. That's why I split it up into sections. Some of it may be a little bit overdone. I don't know. I threw some stuff in there that I'd done earlier, like the Sci-Fi Louie piece. I threw a lot of stuff together simply because America is quickly developing a third world population, has a huge percentage, a growing percentage of a third world population. we're getting some third world style infrastructure, and I've been dealing with power outages and all kinds of crazy stuff this summer. But the next piece I did quite some time ago. It's about 2012 from another direction. 2012 from another direction. A lot of times when I went over 2012 the first time around, some people didn't understand the way I took it, the approach I took. Usually when that happens, I try to go from a different direction. And what you're going to hear should make sense to you, or at least hopefully, on what 2012 means. But one thing I want you to want to make clear to you in the Elitester special is that the Pink Rabbit Elitesters, you're dealing with a group within a group based on what they say. Because what the Elitesters say they're related to, what these guys at the top say they're related to, is ain't what they test what they're testing for in Israel. Ain't possible scientifically. There is a lot of circumstantial evidence that they believe it. Whether or not it's true, crazy rich people, well, yeah, that's a given. They are crazy rich people. Crazy rich people trying to kill us. So, you know, it comes down to what they believe and how they believe it. Based on just the technology they have available, the type of technology our enemy has is simply outrageous. Outrageous. I can read you the patents. And those are clearly in our enemy's hands. I mean, one patent, U.S. patent, 487-39-28, nuclear-sized explosions without radiation. This is 1989. U.S. patent 4817495, defense system for discriminating between objects in space. Well, that's a real deal. And I could go all down the list of the patents in the hands of Team Pink Rabbit. And the question comes in, if you just look at the Jewish control of the media, or you just look at the team in total, why don't they have a New World Order? Why all the problems? I think part of it was they weren't in such a hurry. Part of it was they had a partner that they didn't know was not a partner. A partner that showed up that's an enemy. I've talked about this partner before. I know for a fact they survived. I've went into this before. I'm not worried about being wrong about that one. And that partner had some type of checkmate on them. And now they've got a full-blown revolt going on against the planet, against them on the planet. And we'll have to see how this ends up. We're going to find out pretty quickly, coming into the fall, whether or not it's going to go in any type of crazy direction. I think there's a 100% chance of war and a big war. I think there's about a 98% chance that you're going to see technology that you can't believe used. Probably a 50-50 chance that some of it will seem supernatural, even to me. Beyond that, I don't know. Until that enemy fully shows its hand. But the thing you need to understand is what they believe. And I just laid that out for you. Anyone can do their homework. And what it would mean. But if something were here, something's going to be coming for them, and that group would probably give us a big heads up. And then all the games, of course, would make sense on this planet, I guess, in some weird way. But the patents our enemy have, you'll come to one conclusion, they should have a New World Order. They should be facing some wide revolt, because these patents mean that the Pink Rabbits at the top have their hands on Level 1 technology. Level 1 civilization, if you remember, is a civilization that controls the whole resources of a planet. You could do that with HARP patents. And by their own HARP patents, by their own patents that they're controlling, elements are controlling, they're controlling the resources of the planet. They're in a whole other world than us. We're in level zero. And I mean, even if you have a Patriot missile battery and you're steely-eyed lone wolfer and you have a Patriot missile battery hidden in your garage, you have an M1 Abrams tank hidden in your other steely-eyed lone wolfer buddies, basically underground lair somewhere, or maybe a big car garage and you got a big cover on it so no one knows what you have, you're level zero civilization. level zero civilizations do not compete with level one. It's like little aborigines with boomerangs competing with F-16s. It doesn't. They're in a whole nother world. The only thing they would be susceptible from is pressure from above, someone putting a hard checkmate on them. And that obviously has happened because they don't have a new world order, or they've been pulled into some last-minute negotiation. But there is no competing with a level one civilization for any of us, or anyone that has their hands on that technology, unless you have something better, a more perfect physics. Or some are speculating that, as crazy as this sounds, that there's a level two civilization out there that's came into being. Level two civilization would be a civilization that, going beyond manipulating the resources of a planet, like heart fields and being able to manipulate weather, a level two would be being able to manipulate a star, or being able to manipulate a star in that particular solar system, in this case the sun. That would mean, that's a pretty heavy duty concept, being able to use it for energy and manipulate it. That's insane and outrageous, but a level two civilization would not be in any competition with a level one. It would be over with. And a level three would be utilizing the resources of a galaxy. That would be a whole nother level again. But based on the patterns we know, our enemy has somewhat of a level one civilization. Not somewhat, a level one civilization. They're in another world. They're in a total another world. They're only susceptible from pressure from above. Pressure from above. And if you get a hard checkmate, what would that group want anyone listening to know? One, that group exists. Our enemy doesn't have some new world order. And two, if you got pressure from above, well, you create a vice. You create pressure from below. Our enemy has always been susceptible to losing control of people. In this type of system, it's only done one way, isn't it? And it's not done through violence. It's not done through violence. It's what you've been doing the past couple of years. It is pressure from below, the old-fashioned way, or the closed system way, and that's with a consistent message. So there's two things they'd probably want you to know based on common sense. One, they're out there. You should know that. Two, they have a checkmate on them. Three, they need pressure from below. Pressure from below is what transformed things, whether it be to pull off a last-minute negotiation or who knows. But we're heading for some interesting times. You do not have technology like this and just go away quietly. No. You don't have technology like the Germans have or the Russians just go away quietly. Doesn't. And all this stuff is in white hands and / pink rabbit hands. So this makes for a fascinating dilemma. A fascinating time, and as well as, a lot of people get scared. The alternative news and researchers think that these guys have everything locked down. Well, they would have had it locked down quite a while ago. They would have got the ball rolling immediately after September 11, 2001. Immediately, they wouldn't be playing all these games they have to play. They got some problems, and we look to add to those problems. But coming into this time period, we're in a very fascinating time period. I was asked, when's the first big date? The first big date I'm looking for is September 11, 2011. That's the 10-year time period. I don't think anything's going to happen on that date, but I'm interested to see if something does. And I mean something big, something weird, something out of the ordinary. Because our enemy was really miffed that day. I don't think they were miffed that there was a terrorist attack, because I think it was potentially a false flag, and many elements knew it was coming. I think they were miffed that those buildings came down. I don't think that was part of their plan. I've went into that before. I think that Dr. Joseph Farrell's have it pegged. That's their calling card, those Twin Towers. That's their banking dynasty. You don't accidentally, you don't bring down your calling card. Having an attack against them, a false flag, yeah, big deal. Big deal. A Reichstag fire is a big deal, but the way that day did not go well for them, in my opinion. And so I'm interested in September 11th. That would be the first date. The other dates are all over this fall. Venus crosses the sun. That's early 2012. But in the next piece, I go into 2012 again. We live in probably the most fascinating times. You're really lucky to be alive right now on this planet. The only thing luckier than the average rabbit alive on this planet right now is the average white rabbit. We're going to see some pretty interesting things. At one time in my existence, I always thought that the civilization would decline and we'd go into race wars and everything else. Well, I think you have the ability to see riots and everything else, but they're going to use that as they go into war to try to go for a new world order. You don't have patents like that. and have a total decay of civilization under normal. The normal scenarios we come up with are based on the Depression or based on the past. Those are based on peak oil or something out of the Anglo-social engineering schools, all that other type of stuff. Those are all blown out of the water with the patents I have sitting in front of me. Our enemy's patents. They're going to use these particular patents. They're going to use this technology to try to pull off a new world order. They're going to use it to probably play out many elements or some elements of the Book of Revelation. Something crazy along those lines. There's no reason why they shouldn't. There's no reason why they shouldn't. They're not going to go quietly is what I'm saying. And they're threatened with losing control. They're threatened with someone having something better. And they're threatened with losing control of people, especially our race. You know, they need us. We don't need them. They've got to appeal to us. We don't have to appeal to them. So this should be really fascinating to see what twists and turns this takes. And it will happen very, very fast once it starts going. We're at the stage now where they're unleashing the nihilists, they're unleashing the destroyers of civilizations, and they let them in. So if you let them in, they're going to be unleashed eventually. You know, I mean, in a way that's really overwhelming. There could also be other factors at work. There's a lot of people speculating through other factors at work. If there was a paleo-ancient civilization, their technology could be waking up in the solar system causing certain things, which is kind of a wild scenario. When you get into HARP technology, when you get into some of these patents for weather control, you know, an act of God is the ultimate alibi. So we're going to have to see, and we will keep this program going until all hell actually breaks loose. Coming into war, that's where you're at. You're in front of a war with Iran. That will happen, in my opinion. You're in front of the move against Syria, which looks like it's ongoing. It's happening currently. Coming into September, this should be fascinating. October, there's some huge dates in October. But September 11th is when something baffled our enemy. Something threw them off, and they went at breakneck speed after that. Breakneck speed. They've been on the defensive in a way that really can be seen geopolitically, something's wrong. Something's wrong up top. And they have all the technology where something shouldn't be wrong. They shouldn't be having these problems unless someone has something better, unless someone has a jump, an edge on them. Again, if you're in a level one civilization, these guys already exist in that civilization. They already exist in the mindset. They know what they have. You're not going to be threatened by conventional weapons. You're not going to be threatened. That's all just bread and circuses for TV, fear of China, fear of this, fear of that. They're only threatened by someone with something better or losing control of white rabbits. And we will do our part to help them lose control of white rabbits. But the next piece is 2012 from another direction. And like I said already, 2012 is a very interesting time period. We're coming into a fascinating time period for our race where everything's going to be revealed. We're going to learn all kinds of stuff, if there's anything to learn. And if this goes in a crazy direction, well, you'll know about it. It'll be pretty obvious. It'll be pretty self-evident. And we shall see. But this is 2012 from another direction. This will be a little bit easier for you to understand. After that, that is the end of the Elitesters, and this should be part C of the Elitesters. And the Elitesters is a very long podcast. No other way I can tie all this stuff in together. After that, I'll be back with you on another episode sometime in the future. Early in the podcast, I talked about 2012 and what an interesting time this is for our race, as well as for anyone else on the planet. I took it from a one particular direction, and in this, to answer these particular questions, I'm going to talk about 2012 from a different perspective, from a different direction, really. Maybe this will be a little easier to understand for some of my listeners who didn't like that particular explanation or didn't understand it enough. But I have two types of listeners. All my listeners are awakened on some level. Some of them are awakened to just the Jewish question. Some of them are awakened racially. Some are awakened racially and to the Jewish question. And then I have another type of listener that woke up one morning and realized, became conscious of the fact that the governments around the world We're hiding news, especially the U.S. government. You know, they're not releasing all the news that's relevant on CBS. And, of course, the racialist community has seen this time immemorial with who comes to racial crime statistics and so on. The other community, alternative news and researchers, believes it pertains to a lot of other stuff. And I happen to agree with them as well. I think most of us can agree we became conscious of the fact that we were being lied to. Strategically disinformed by the powers that be. But when you became conscious of that, that's a pretty big event. Hard to quantify. Consciousness is not something we have meters to quantify yet in modern science. I mean, it's supposedly coming, supposedly out there. Some people have some different ideals about it. But a change in consciousness is a big deal for a human being. For instance, any of you read David Duke books, My Awakening or Jewish Supremacism, very popular books, there's a particular change in consciousness that probably happened if those books awakened you at least. If any of you read Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar, the way his writing style can awaken you to some other possibilities regarding our race, the way we think and so on and so forth. But those are conscious changing. Quantifying consciousness or quantifying that change is very difficult. How can you quantify your awakening? You talk about it. You know, I got some listeners that woke up one morning and realized that the regular news media was lying to them about a lot of things. Well, they became conscious of that. Once you become conscious of that, you start seeing the world differently and you're going to look for different things. You're going to watch the news differently. Common sense dictates. But quantifying that change in consciousness is very, very difficult. I want you to keep this in mind as we go forward. The only thing 2012 is about is changing planetary alignments. A set of planetary alignments that can be a big, big deal. Simply because when you change planetary alignments, you change the physics of the solar system some way subtly, and it's happening all the time. All the time there are planetary alignments and that are in rotation. They're changing ever so slightly the physics of the solar system, which can change the physics. It can change the physics of the Earth, which can change human consciousness. And let's take a very drastic example. Let's say one morning they were to change, the moon were to move out of place. Well, that would cause a huge change in consciousness. And that would cause, obviously, a huge cataclysmic event on Earth, probably. Depending on what was done and how it was done, if something like that were to happen. But it would cause a change in consciousness as well. Now, the 2012ers, there's a lot of them that have gloom and doom. What they're talking about is they're talking about these planetary alignments are going to have an effect kind of like if you were to move the moon. You know, all the tidal waves all over the place and everything else. We've seen this type of thing. I don't take that approach because we haven't seen that to be true. These planetary alignments, this whole entire thing started coming into focus in the late 1600s. One race awoken consciously. Can't really quantify it, but we've done a whole lot since then. After 1950, you come into another set of planetary alignments. The changes going on in this planet started speeding up drastically. Another group of rabbits on this planet, the East Asians, really started doing quite well for themselves post this time period. They started becoming more conscious. Now, what's the difference between Japanese in 1945 and Japanese now? A whole lot. They're a lot more creative. They're doing a lot of different stuff. Now, of course, we have the catalyst for the change in Asia. The catalyst could be Europeans taking them technology. I guess that's right. That's a catalyst. But you still got to do something with that. And they have done something with that. We've took our technology all over the world, but no one's really done as much with it as, say, the East Asians. But when it comes to quantifying the change in consciousness among Europeans from, let's say the late 1600s, to, let's say, 1950, well, that's a huge change. Something happened there. What happened? Well, these planetary alignments, changing physics of the solar system, changes the physics of the planet, changes consciousness. Not necessarily in a what you see is what you get way. Not necessarily through, you know, we're not having tidal waves or anything like that. We're just having a change in consciousness on some level. Very difficult to quantify, but yet it's there. If you look at it, you know, it makes some kind of sense. And when you start talking about these planetary alignments, what kind of example can I give you? Let's say you have a big, big, giant dark room in your house. And this dark room in your house has skylights. But these skylights only open during certain planetary alignments. Now, this big dark room is kind of a metaphor for the solar system. This solar system, this backwater solar system at the tail end of space, and we're on this third rock from the sun. And in this solar system, there are skylights, and these skylights only come on during certain planetary alignments, just like a dark room. And some of these skylights don't mean anything. They got glass, they got screen covering them and everything else, but some of these skylights, during so many thousands of years, mean a whole lot. The whole roof nearly opens up, and anything can fly in, anything can fly. Who knows what's going on? You know, imagine, if you will, you had a big dark room in your house and you had skylights. These skylights come on maybe at, let's say, at a full moon or something. And this one particular skylight that comes on at a full moon opens up half the roof, and whatever wants to come in can come in. It's a huge skylight opening up. It's going to change the physics of your family room. Yeah, your big dark family room just had the whole entire physics of the room change. Rain is coming in. Flies are coming in. Who knows what's going to come in there? A burglar will jump in there. A rabbit jump in there and try to rob you. But that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with planetary alignment. Some of them don't mean anything, like a little skylight. Big deal. Big deal. A little light comes in. Some of them are huge. Well, the ones coming up in the fall of 2011, specifically early 2012, are epic. Epic, 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 epic. Now, the reason we know them to be epic, or at least we believe to be, because the trend that's in place is Europeans have become incredibly creative post-1700s. Not that they weren't creative before. White rabbits are always creative, but it's been pretty outrageous if you track the progress. We've led the way. No one can deny that. But that change was a change in consciousness. Now, where I disagree with all the gloom and doomers is the only change we've seen thus far is consciousness. And that should be planet-wide. Right now, fascinating enough, our enemy has pulled out their old playbook. When Europeans, if you look at the late 1600s, and you were to believe, let's say you were a step back in time, you were to believe, okay, there's going to be a change in consciousness among Europeans. They're going to be a lot more creative. We're going to have to keep them busy. Well, how are we going to keep them busy? We're going to give them bread and circuses. We're going to give them democracy. We're going to give them wars. We're going to have them out conquering other territories. Well, why? Well, we're pink rabbits. We want to dominate an energy flow. We want to own that energy flow. So we'll get to the top and we'll give them bread and circuses in a way that gives us more power and et cetera. And what they did was they went around, they assassinated kings, instituted revolutions, so on and so forth, had us out invading other lands. But really, what they did was they instituted democracy, or shamocracy, what I call bread and circuses across Europe, and they made sure they controlled any modern forms of communication totally, whether it be the printing press or whatever. They were trying to control that, or at least control what books be published. It's always been like that, but it became a lot more drastic, and they got a pretty good handle on it. Got a pretty good handle on it, especially in somewhere like Europe, but we still got out of line in the American Revolution. But this is all from a change in consciousness, and they're trying to get a hold of it. What they've done in modern times, if you look at it right now, especially post, especially America post 1950, has been around the world trying to democratize everything. You know, Americans right now are trying to democratize the Middle East. We don't want to. No Americans get a vote on it, but that's what they did. They basically gave Iraq, forced Iraq into bread and circuses. It's the same act, really. What they're trying to do is get in front of a change in human consciousness because they're becoming more awake. They're not going to tolerate these dictators. They're not going to tolerate certain things. And the full effect of it, no one really knows other than they're becoming more conscious. There's some things they're not going to tolerate anymore. And that's why they're doing that. That is kind of in their old playbook. A lot of people believe that there's a change in consciousness. One particular commentator, I think it's Richard C. Hoagland, he actually has a model of the changing physics of the planet based on the changing physics of the solar system, based on the changing alignments. The changing alignments coming into 2012. And what he's done is done something quite clever. It's totally mathematical based on his model. He's reduced it down to math. He was predicting along the Earth's grid, the nodal points of the Earth, where humanity would be awakening. And he did something pretty impressive. He talked about Egypt and the connection between Egypt and the big riots in Minnesota. What the elites are doing is looking at it from a similar perspective and trying to get in front of it. Pretty interesting stuff. Where they failed is that there's way too many people. Where they failed is they don't have anywhere near the control they have. And, of course, Brzezinski let this out of the cat out of the bag when he said it's much easier to kill a million people than to govern them, which is technically true, I guess, if you're Brzezinski. In other words, they're not going with that plan anymore. That plan is a total failure. Democratizing the Middle East is a colossal, epic failure. And that's why in 2011 you're going to have probably a colossal war coming into 2012. I don't know when. I don't predict these dates. If it hasn't happened in 2010, but they're going to have wars and a huge, huge war. And then they're going to try to go for their new world order. Now, where the mystery comes in these skylights opening up in the solar system, is some of these skylights are associated with big, big changes. I don't believe those changes will be in the physics of the planet to the extent that we get tidal waves and we all die. But I do believe there is a change in consciousness. Quantifying that is like quantifying your change in consciousness when you read David Duke's My Awakening. I can't do that. We can't do that yet. But that is from a different perspective. Now, what is the big deal with the fall 2011 and the Bible? I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that question. I'm guessing you're assuming the book of Revelations. And when you get into the Horn of Gabriel and these different astrologies, those are alignments on some level that kick off the Second Coming. One of my main sleuth that doesn't know it, Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, knows the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a very challenging book because it's basically all astrotheology. However, a lot of my listeners know that. However, there is a certain set of alignments that start the Second Coming that opens the way. Certain skylights open up, which they come in to this area off of. Who's they? They are the gods, basically. God, whatever. The Second Coming. To tell you about the Second Coming, we'd have to talk about the First Coming. And I don't know enough about that. But it is off of a set of alignments, and they are a big, big deal. And what he has always said is that a portion of our enemy, especially at the top, is very, very spooked. He's been saying this for a number of years, and he speculated on maybe they, whoever they are, that he considers they are cousins, may be returning around these key dates. As these skylights start opening up, as they really aggressively open up into 2012, there's a set of key dates, I want to say, somewhere coming out of September into October that are a big deal. Now, I don't know what's going to happen or what they're planning on doing around that time with this big war, if it's happened by then, if it hasn't already happened, but they got a lot of big things planned as well, our enemy. Now, why they have it planned or why this time why are they in such a hurry, which they are, well, that's open for speculation. The Dr. Farrells has speculated on this going back to at least 2006, 2007. That's live on the air, way before I ever talked about this stuff publicly in a podcast. He did so from a very what you see is what you get way. And, of course, we'll just have to wait and see, but that's all 2012 is a changing consciousness. But that change is based on an interpretation of the changing physics of the planet, which is caused by the changing physics of the solar system, which is caused by a big, big skylight opening up into the solar system. Now, what events else associated with as far as tidal waves and everything else, I don't necessarily buy into because we haven't seen that. But what we have seen is a changing in consciousness. Quantifying it is very, very difficult. Anything else? Will be interesting. Now, the Pink Rabbits want to gain control. To gain control, you're going to have to take drastic measures. If all of humanity is waking up to your shenanigans, if they ain't going to take it anymore, if they're not going to take your 10-pot dictators, maybe even in Saudi Arabia, they're not going to take the garbage going on in Israel, between Israel and Palestine, they're not going to take anything anymore, well, you're going to have to do something pretty drastic to get a hold of it. And that's what has happened. That's what was decided, in my opinion, somewhere in 2004. They started making plans, if not long before. I mean, exact plans that we got to throw something huge because democratizing the Middle East ain't going to work. We're going to have thin some herds, so on and so forth. And you've got the Brzezinskis talking about killing a lot of people. And you're going to see a ramp up into a huge, huge war. That's all I can guarantee you. That's the trend in place. And the trend in place regarding 2012 and these astronomical alignments is simply a change in consciousness. Humanity, Europeans most certainly, the indigenous white rebs of Europe became very, very creative. The Asians post-World War II has become pretty, pretty creative. Now the rest of humanity, well, they're just now coming online. And as far as anything else crazy, any supernatural, hocus pocus, second coming, and you know, the Book of Revelation, stuff like that, well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I don't know. That's a wild area of speculation. But that, of course, goes into all kinds of stuff, whether it be World War II, and if we haven't, I guarantee you by the time you hear something like this, we're going to have talked about what the Nazis are doing in this podcast. And Horus Avengers, Follow the White Rabbit, I'm going to go into specifically what the Nazis are doing. They're doing what they're saying they're going to do. But they're doing it to get someone's attention. I mean, they believe this stuff, you know, whatever. But anyways, that is a little bit on 2012. That's a little bit on the speculation going on with 2012. The main researcher I use has been talking about this for way before I did publicly. You know, usually when you're talking about something like this publicly, these are things you've been talking about at least a decade before you talked about it publicly. So if Joseph P. Farrell is talking about something in 2006, 2007 on a podcast on The Byte Show, these are things he's talked about for decades, probably, at a minimum a decade. If I'm talking about this on something on a podcast, well, it's something I've obviously have thought about well before, well ahead of time. And the Richard C. Hoagland's actually have a model, and he's someone to watch. If he has a model, it's a mathematical model, and he's predicting where different rabbits on the planet are getting upset. They're trying to riot, they're trying to do this and that. Now, can whites riot in these time periods? Yeah, whites can go nuts in these time periods. They can throw great revolutions, they can do all kinds of stuff, and they'll be looking to control an energy flow. Can Africans? Well, this is going to be a big debate, because as this happens into 2012, late 2011, during the course of 2011, most that I trust think Africans will do the direct opposite of Europeans, where Europeans get more creative, a little more antsy, you know, won't take it anymore. Africans are probably just going to disintegrate into outright what you see is what you get, total crime wave. Now, they do that normally. They've been doing that my whole entire life, so I don't know how to quantify that, but if you see Africans going a little more nuts than we think they normally have been, well, it probably has something to do with these alignments, because if you do change the physics of the planet, you're going to change consciousness, and you can, of course, have the huge disasters that the 2012 nutballs talk about. But we haven't seen any huge disasters other than the normal wildfires and the crazy stuff that happens on this Earth anyways. What we have seen is a change in consciousness. That's the only trend in place. Now, whether Africans will totally disintegrate, I don't know. It would be a percentage of them. It's always going to be difficult to tell when they start talking about African crime in the mainstream media, and they're doing it more and more. There's a trend in place, and I've talked about why. Hopefully by this time in the podcast, I've talked about why they've been sold out, in my opinion, by a certain group. They can't do anything with them. With that being said, it's always difficult to me to know whether or not, you know, because there's always a tremendous amount of African crime, whether they're just finally exposing something because it's so outrageous that they have to, or whether Africans are actually just disintegrating even more than they were disintegrating. I'm talking about on a statistical level. The vast majority of violent crimes in America are done by non-whites, and Africans make up an absurd amount. I mean, it's a statistical, mathematical fact. Now, whether or not we'll see that going bonkers, I mean, really just off the wall, like, wow, what happened to these Africans in late 2011? I don't know, but I will be careful around them, even more so than normal. Yeah, but that is wild speculation on will the Africans, if Europeans are becoming more creative, a little more antsy, can Europeans burn down cities during this time period? Well, the American Revolution was pretty violent. They got upset, or a core group got upset. It just depends. It just depends. I don't know what the elites are going to do to counter it. Africans typically don't care. They'll run around robbing anyone, doing anything. They just don't care. Now, whether or not they really do it over the top, and whether or not they're just disintegrating, or whether or not it's just the invention of YouTube and we can see it, a lot more than normal. You know, typically in America, this thing happens with Africans all the time. It's just the difference is with online, you can see it. So I don't know. That's kind of a tough call. Changing consciousness is a tough call. But you might want to be careful being around those black rabbits. They might just totally lose it. Totally lose it, even more so than they've already totally lost it. That's even possible. But it's always possible. You can always go lower on the scale, I guess. But that's a little bit about 2012. Hopefully I answered that question in a very easy to understand way. What you're dealing with is a skylight in a very dark living room. We're in a backwater solar system at the tail end of space. We don't know anything except we're stretched across the whole entire top of the planet and in several other areas, and someone's trying to kill white rabbits. That's what white rabbit genocide is all about. And there was a skylight opening up, and this skylight is huge that's opening up. And as these skylights open up, anything that wants to come into your living room is going to be there, which calls for wild speculation. But the only trend in place is a change in consciousness. The only thing we can point out, unfortunately, quantifying consciousness or quantifying when you became conscious of something, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Maybe we'll get a black rabbit meter and quantify how crazy they're going or how many times they make the news for doing crazy stuff. Every time you think you've seen a black rabbit do something really crazy, he'll surprise you. He'll do something even crazier. And we got a solution for that. Don't feed the bears. Keep them in Yellowstone. Don't let them run around. That's true. True stuff. But that's a whole nother podcast, isn't it? But hopefully that answers your questions in a very simple, easy to understand way in 2012. Well, you're dealing with a massive alignment, basically between the sun, planet Earth, and the galactic center. To put it in simple language, it is simply physics. It's not a hocus pocus. What is hocus pocus is predicting all this crazy stuff. I can only predict what's going on now, and that's the current trend, and there's been a change in consciousness that is certainly there. It is certainly there. Could this affect Europeans becoming more awakened? The peanut gallery is now yelling. It would have to. It would have to really help anything awakened. It could cause much larger awakening. There are certain parties that always thought that anti-Semitism has happened around these key dates. Well, you got Nazi Germany, which was a big reaction to the Jews. Clearly, and that was right in front of a key date in the late 40s. We have some pretty big stuff that happens around these dates. There's no doubt about it. Quantifying it can be rather difficult, but it wouldn't surprise me. That's something I believe driving our elites now is they're worried about controlling America. Because for the pink rabbits to control America, if there were ever any, well, there's still some pink rabbits that aren't Jewish. You got the elitesters in America, but if you were to roll up the Jews in a big anti-Semitic, in other words, the average white American becomes conscious of the Jews and then starts realizing that they're basically at the top, that the elite aspect of the Jews are all their enemies, that would have a profound change, and that's something that I'm sure the Jewish elites would worry about. Typically, they don't worry about anti-Semitism, except when it, you know, in real extremes. But yeah, anything goes during this time period. Whites can riot during this time period. They've been known to. There's a variety of different things that can happen. Some of the big labor movements happen around these key dates, back in the 30s, 40s, and coming in the 50s. There's all kinds of different things that can happen, but it always involves a change in consciousness, which can be abrupt. It can be sudden. But I don't expect any big tidal waves or anything like that. Not that they can't happen. Not that we can't see earthquakes and stuff like that, but we see that stuff anyways. But that's it. That's it, and I'll stop talking about 2012 now. Well, that wasn't the end. That was almost the end. another question rolled in about the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga, you're clearly in it if you believe in such a thing. Kaliyuga. But I don't know exactly when it ends. It would be ending for probably the last couple thousand years at the minimum. the Hindu calendars are very, very long. So are the Greeks, what many believe is the ancient Greeks, the Iron Age and whatnot. That is the Kali. Kali Yuga. But when and precisely they end, I have no idea. And even the people that do believe in that type of thing or think they can predict it, they generally argue night and day over the exact times. The times this fall, coming into the fall of 2011. The big times this fall will be later in the fall. A lot of people say sometime in October, November, late September. These are all big time frames. Then early, late winter. Or early winter, late winter, there's a series of processions that are a big deal. But the exact time, my type of analysis I don't really get that exact with, tomorrow morning we're going to war at 10 o'clock. even if you did know that type of information, you'd probably be in a military train of command, and it'd be treason revealing it. But that type of information is generally not known. Trends are easy. There's nothing really sexy about them. There's nothing really fascinating about them, but you can make a living. You can make a living observing them. If you're good at it, people hire you to talk about such things. But when it comes to being that exact, you know, October 28th at 10 a.m., the skylights are going to fully open. I don't get that exact with anything. I don't think, believe it or not, that that anyone can be that precise. Although there's probably someone out there that would know the exact date and time, they may be off. For even the ones that are that precise are going to be off a little bit. The Mayan calendars, of course, are a lot shorter. The particular cycle they're looking at, this particular skylight they're looking at, is a little bit different than when you get into the Hindu calendars and whatnot. But you're at the end of several different calendars. Like I said long ago in the podcast, in the early part of the podcast, you're in the end of every calendar you could dream up. And big, big things can happen and will happen. I just don't think there's going to be, I don't think it's going to be like the movie 2012 where it's the end of the earth. It's the end of life existence on the earth or anything like that. But that is, this is the official end of 2012, the little mini special. We are now at the end of another episode of Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all, as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in and to another episode. On behalf of the Indigenous White Rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horace the Avenger. And I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening.